This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the value. It's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power.
What?
LSU
what?
With Carter, man, I'm headed.
What? Freaking go, PHL Nation. Just a few days, I'll see you at the Shreveport Card Show. In Saturday. They also announced that if you wear a jersey to the show, you get in free. But today, we got to talk about the deepest of deep LSU sleepers going into next year. And one small little thing that actually happened that forced me to push this live stream back. I noticed when I went to the LSUsports.net site, normally this gets tweeted out, but I'm a jersey number snob. The new LSU jersey numbers have been released. And one thing really sticks out to me. And if you know me, you know the power of a single-digit jersey number. So, as you can see, Dylan Carpenter is the thumbnail image. And today, when I talk deep sleeper, I am talking about players that really have a long shot of playing meaningful snaps. So, a guy like Xavier Debo Atkins, I think, is going to play a lot because I really have a high grade on him. A guy like Tre'Davious Green, that's not really a deep sleeper. He's a five-star that a lot of you know. And let's say someone like Xavion Thomas, right? Your casual LSU fan that only tunes in the fall might not know who that is, but a lot of you know who that is. So I'm going to give you four deep cut names that no one has ever heard of. Unless you're a super diehard LSU football fan or you've heard of it, but I'm going to give you a bull case for them of actually getting snaps. And Doug, the camera didn't break. I did worry about it, though, because when I look at it too long, it can shatter. So we're going to start for you with Dylan Carpenter. This is a guy who went through a pretty big body transformation. You know, when I watched his high school tape, he didn't get a good grade from me in terms of really high-end Division I Power 5 upside because he, to me, seemed a little undersized. Now, as you could tell with the thumbnail image, he has bulked up. I mean, he has really put in the work to make himself look like a true Division I Power 5 guy. This is your typical three-star Louisiana player who didn't play a whole lot in year one, didn't hit the portal, but decided to stick his nose down and get after it at a position that is loaded. So for him to play, a lot of things need to go his way. This is a true defensive end as well. He's not someone that can give you defensive tackle reps. I do think he fits what Blake Baker is trying to do defensively a little bit better than the last regime. I do think Blake Baker doesn't really want to play with a standing two-point stance edge player as much as the last regime did. So you need your traditional hand in the dirt defensive end, and that's what Dylan Carpenter is. So look, he's gotten bigger. I have heard good things as far as his body transformation. I've heard good things in terms of his overall athleticism getting better, and he's just kind of just hung around, right? And he is entering year two. Year two is normally the year you begin to truly see if someone could be a Power 5 player. You rarely see year three breakout. So I'm not going to say it's now or never for him, but I'm going to tell you that I have heard good things as far as what he has done in the offseason workout programs, and people like being around him, right? I looked at his Instagram feed a little bit earlier. You see a lot of teammates commenting on his stuff, even though he's not really done anything at this point in his career. So I am biased towards a Louisiana three-star. I always will be. The kids that truly dream of playing for LSU. So Dylan Carpenter is sleeper number one, okay? And before we get to sleeper number two, we welcome in Tyler, Mick, Joseph, AP. Obviously, if you super chat, we go to your next topic. We say hi to the Black Connection. What's good to see? Good to see you. TOV, good to see you. Love it. Tony going out for a birthday. There you go. Congratulations. So there you go. I've heard really good things on Dylan Carpenter. Now, once again, these are all long shots. Now, this one is not a long shot, but he is a sleeper. Tyree Adams. So the discussion this offseason has been about LSU's offensive line. Is this the best LSU offensive line of all time? I believe it is. In terms of blue chip ratio, in terms of high-end talent, in terms of experience, in terms of first-rounders, I do feel there are two true first-round offensive linemen that will go in the first round of next year's NFL draft. But notice I hesitate if I say this is the best offensive line of all time, because you really aren't a great offensive line if you don't have good backups. And Tyree Adams had a good grade for me coming out of St. Aug. And I tend to rate St. Aug prospects higher than non-St. Aug prospects because they just produce at a high freaking clip. We know Leonard Fournette. We know a good bit of the coaching staff on LSU as St. Aug grads. And then, obviously, Jakeem Stanos Stewart is arguably going to be the highest Louisiana-rated prospect since Leonard Fournette. So Tyree Adams, very interesting situation. Last year, he had no path forward to playing time because the number one backup offensive lineman was Lance Hurd. So if the left tackle went out, Emory Jones would go to left tackle and Lance Hurd would go in at right tackle. And Lance Hurd was the top backup at every single offensive line position. They would just move things around. So now Tyree Adams, I believe, now things could have changed, but I believe he will be the first offensive tackle off the bench. All right. Let's say Emory Jones gets banged up again this year. What if the unthinkable happens and Will Campbell has to sit out? You need reasonably good backups. Now, hopefully this LSU offensive line stays healthy from start to finish. But every single LSU offensive line that has ever existed rarely is able to stay healthy from start to finish, okay? 2019 LSU, right? A lot of you remember Joe Burrow and that great LSU offensive line that won the Joe Moore Award. Well, Austin Deculus wasn't available for Ole Miss. You need a Bedore Traore to step in. You need good backups. Those T-Mob offensive lines were deep. They were very, very, very deep. So in terms of depth, we have not talked a whole lot about Tyree Adams. He is definitely a sleeper. Once again, you notice I'm targeting mostly guys going into their year two season. So Tyree Adams, 6'7", 305. Unlike Dylan Carpenter, we know he's got the size to play Division I Power 5 football. We know St. Aug produces really good football players. I've heard good things about Tyree Adams in camp. And one thing that I will say about Tyree Adams is, once again, there was no possible way that he could have played at all last year as a true freshman. His upside was capped because of the depth at the offensive line position. So he really didn't get a chance at all last year as a true freshman to show off what he could do. So I am a little bit higher on Tyree Adams than maybe most. And I would feel somewhat comfortable about him stepping in and giving us some action this next year. Hopefully that's not the case. This team loses quite a bit if you don't have Will Campbell or Emory Jones. You can make a case outside of the quarterback. They are the two most important players on the team. They are the two best players on the team, if you ask me. So We'll see what happens next year with Tyree Adams. He is a very, very key piece to what LSU is doing. Now, what do you guys think about Tyree Adams? A lot of you going crazy over Joe Burrow and the new look. AP says a big man, 6'7". So Tyree Adams, another sleeper. Now, this is a deep cut. A very deep cut here. Jevonny Peterson, walk-on tight end, who I think has earned a scholarship. Don't know for certain if that's the case. So, why are we pointing out Jevonny Peterson? Well, he's been around LSU for a few years now. And he kind of worked his way into a role with LSU last year. So when LSU would run their 13 and 14 personnel sets, they tried Kamarion Pimpton as the traditional tight end blocker. And eventually, I do believe, I'd have to go back and look at this, I think they did go to Peterson as the season moved on. So Connor Galbraith was another one of those tight ends. He moved on. And there is a higher likelihood than not that Peterson is somewhat of a special teams contributor, but I could see if LSU has success just pounding the damn rock and they want to get in 13 personnel, I could see him be the third tight end. What if Mac Markway goes down? Mac Markway is the solid number two tight end as far as a blocking tight end behind Mason Taylor. All right. If either one of them go down, you're left with Tre'Davious Green, who is more of a receiver than he is tight end. And you're left with Kamarion Pimpton, who also is more of a receiver than he is a tight end. And I would trust Pimpton as a blocker probably a little bit more than Tre'Davious Green as a true freshman. So if that is the case, Peterson could play a lot more this next year, maybe outside of special teams. So once again, very deep cut guy who a lot of people in the LSU building know him. He's been around for a while now. From Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Of course, LSU recently had a tight end from Colorado in Cole Taylor. So we'll see what happens next year with Jevonny Peterson. Once again, I feel a little bit cooler on him than some of the other players on this list. And then we're going to go to the one that I have referenced a few times. I almost put Joel Rogers up here, because I've heard some good things about Joel Rogers as a true freshman, but I am going to include Michael Turner here, okay? Now, you guys know, one trait I look for from a college football player is thickness. I like my football players thick. It's just how it is. The SEC, everybody's big, everybody's fast. Now, Michael Turner is plenty fast. Plenty fast. You can make a very strong case. A very strong case that he is one of the faster players on this team. Now, with 145 being his weight, this has to be one of the smaller, thinner LSU football players on scholarship ever. John Curtis, so really good high school football program. And Mick is saying that didn't Michael Turner get injured? I don't know. You tell me. I've not heard this. If he is banged up, then probably the likelihood of him playing next year is small. But Michael Turner is special when it comes to his speed. And look, corner is open. It's very open. So I think Michael Turner, who was more so viewed as a wide receiver, I don't feel comfortable with the weight at 145, though. That is small. I mean, very, very small. So that does concern me, especially as a true freshman. But he's someone that I personally do like. So we'll see. I'm a little shocked that he is 145. I mean, normally, you don't see the listed weight at LSU be that light, especially lighter than what the recruiting services have you. Normally, you have it weighed a little bit heavier. Now, we get our first super chat of the evening. Jordan says, what about Gabriel Relaford? Now, that is a very, very good comment, Jordan. But I decided to go deep, deep, deep sleepers. Because, look, I like what I've heard from Dylan Carpenter. My personal opinion of him isn't as high as what I have heard. So that's one thing. But he has gotten bigger. The issue, though, and your super chat, you know, Jordan adds into it, Dylan Carpenter, for him to actually play, he's going to have to beat out a lot of really solid, proven guys and some higher upside freshmen like a Gabriel Relaford. So for me right now, ahead of Dylan Carpenter on the depth chart, Savion Jones, obviously the guy that people are excited about the most is Braden Swinson going into next year. And then you got Pierre Shan. And then you got Gabriel Relaford. And then you got Kalaj Cobbins. So there's a lot of players mixed in there. A lot. So it's going to be hard for Carpenter to play. Very hard. And for your super chat, Jordan, Gabriel Relaford is definitely one of those guys. I like Gabe a lot. You know, we interviewed him at the last Streetport card show. Not the last one, but you guys get what I'm saying. We interviewed him, and he was spectacular. His parents are big fans of the channel, big supporters of the channel, and shout out to Ray and the fam. But yeah, it's insane. Honestly insane how athletic he is, how fast he is at that size. So, Jordan, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate it. Also appreciate your friendship as well. You've become one of my really good friends. And yeah. So, I want to share why I push the live stream back just a little bit. Because you guys know jersey number discussion is something that gets me really fired up. All right? I have a policy. And it might not mean a whole lot to you. But I look, you guys know I'm not the biggest primetime Deion Sanders fan, but the only thing that I 100,020% agree with him on is the single-digit jersey number thing. So right now, LSU has, I don't think they're going to give out a number three uniform because obviously number three is a pretty sacred number for the Brian Kelly era with what happened last year. And then, of course, Joe Burrow's number nine isn't ever going to be given out again, more than likely. And then number seven is to Will Campbell. And for those that didn't get what I was referencing, Greg Brooks wore number three. So that number is pretty sacred now in LSU lore, especially in the BK regime. So these are the incomers. And what's very interesting to me on the entire LSU football roster, only one true freshman, only one, was given a single-digit number. Only one. All right? Now, I don't a gazillion percent know how the jersey number thing works. And something else to keep in mind is someone who is involved with that process, Greg Stringfellow, retired. So he was the very coveted equipment manager at LSU. And he was a big reason why the Burrow EAUX jersey thing happened. So I don't know if he decides the jersey number. I don't know if Brian Kelly decides it. But Juwan Johnson getting a single digit as a true freshman is very interesting. Because what I'll do is I'll show you all these other numbers. Every single player that's listed here would rather have the single-digit jersey number than the number that they're given, okay? That's why single-digit jersey numbers are big. It's the aesthetic, all right? So, yeah, there have been true freshmen in the past that have gotten a single-digit, Mason Smith, right? One thing that is interesting is on LSU's team, there is not a number zero that has been issued, okay? But Juwan Johnson gets a single digit. So is that signal for anything going into next year? Well, under Brian Kelly, not really, right? There have been other first-year players who have gotten a single-digit number and not proven anything up to this point. And so far, it's not been a good omen, right? Shelton Sampson got a single-digit as a true freshman. Obviously, he's not really played. Jordan Allen has a single-digit, number six. You know, some in the building believe he could still be an SEC safety, but he's not really done a whole lot. The last player that got number five was LeTerrence Welch. He had not proven a whole lot, and he got in the single digit. And, you know, it's not really done anything. Aaron Anderson got the single digit, got the uno. So there have been a lot of, you know, first-time players who had not really proven a whole lot. One has kind of grown into it, and that's Kyren Lacy. But Kyren is, like, un-freaking-believably good now, right? We'll see how he does as a number one option, but I would say Kyren is a lock to catch 50 passes this year. I know he's going to be really good. So it is interesting. There are some players that I think would prefer the number five that have proven something. But is that signal? It doesn't mean anything. I believe it does mean something. Look, we had someone, Ronald, thank you for the super chat. You could get to pick the next topic. Someone at Juwan Johnson's inner circle recently jumped in our chat, and he was like, y'all are sleeping on him. So, very interesting. Tre'Davious Green gets number 14. B.B. Causey gets number 28. Caden Durham. I love Caden Durham. I'm also a jersey number snob. I like the fact that he wears a traditional running back jersey number 29. Wallace Foster also gets number 29 on defense. Xavier Atkins. These are the jersey numbers that you need to remember right here. 29 and 31 going into next year. Aaron Burrell, the new kickoff, potential kickoff guy for the future. Aaron Burrell gets number 32. Blake Oschendorf, that's a punter who just came in. Devon Keyes, number 42. Weston Davis, number 75. Ori Williams, number 77. Preston Hickey, the walk-on defensive tackle. He was number 98. He goes to number 88. CJ Jackson, the defensive end. Kind of a obscure jersey number 89. But Let's see. I think Chance is going to know this. I accidentally left him off. It was a Freudian slip because I knew I was going to talk about him tonight. That's why I pushed the live stream back because I wanted to type all these out. Michael Turner should be on there, number 21. But I want you, and by the way, I'm excited about Juwan Johnson as well. I just would not give a single digit to someone that's not played yet. I mean, it is. I mean, people know. It's a thing. It is a thing. Anyone that knows anything about football knows it's a thing, right? CJ Jackson, the defensive end, gets number 89. Can you name the last solid, he wasn't spectacular, but solid defensive end at LSU who wore number 89? Let me see how deep y'all's football knowledge goes. And then we get the transfer defensive tackle, JVR Suggs, gets 91. Dominic McKinley, number 96. That's the number he wore in high school. I'm glad they gave him number 96. And then Gio Paez, number 99. Okay? So, the thing that stands out to me is a single digit. It is a thing. All right? It is a thing. Yeah, I mean, they are, and they should be. I mean, he's a very interesting prospect. Oh, Jelani Watkins. Let me see. He skipped out. I put these together last second. Let's see. Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't put Kylan Billiott either. Kylan Billiott, number 82. Jelani Watkins, number 83. Let's go. Traditional wide receiver numbers are back. Normally, I don't even look at the 80s. Normally, it's just walk-ons. Normally, it's just walk-ons that get that jersey number. You can't. They did not want those jersey numbers. I can guarantee you that. They did not. But I like it. I like it, baby. I'm going to put these on there. That is crazy. 82 and 83. Bring it back, baby. That makes me feel so warm inside, y'all. No pause needed. Like, bring back tradition. Our country really started going to crap when wide receivers quit wearing jersey numbers in the '80s. Y'all notice that, right? It's just the truth. Okay. I want this to be heard. All right. If you are not a prime time player, do not ask for a single digit. Do not ask for a single digit. All right. Because Deion Sanders said it best. There's all these double numbers now. And that's fine. I don't mind double numbers. But a single-digit jersey can be used in recruiting. Like, look, DJ Pickett wears number 5, right? In high school. You can go to him and say, hey, we can get you that number 5 uni. We can get you an Uno. Right? That's part of the equity of getting Bryce Underwood. Bryce Underwood wears number 19. I love that. My favorite athletes I pick now are the ones that really blaze their own path with the jersey number thing. It is a very deep psychological thing. Like Luka Doncic going number 77. Love it. Freaking love it. That means you believe in yourself. You don't worry about the aesthetic. Bryce Underwood rocking the freaking Johnny Unitas number 19. Freaking love that, man. Love it. Oh, if you had to give me a number, you'd give me the number 7. I'll be honest. When it comes to sports media, yeah, hell yeah, I'm a number 7. I can write, broadcast, radio, any social, any. If you ask me to do a sports piece, if you want me to just do short form content, I'll do it. Now, am I Colin Cowherd? Am I as big as Nick Wright? No. I will be, though. I'm calling my shot. But in athletics, I am not a number 7. I am not a number 7. Okay, maybe a number 10, but not a number 7. Save the single digits for the Burrows, the Jamar Chases. Those are real primetime players. I ran a 5.3 40. I do not deserve a single digit jersey number. I don't. Will Campbell, yeah, hell yeah. I mean, he's a superstar. This is my thing. My policy for single digit numbers would be, you've got to give me 1 year of very good production before I give it to you. Or you need to be him as a true freshman. You need to be him. Okay. Someone mentioned CeeDee Lamb. Okay, so it was you as well, Real Louisiana Animal. And by the way, Ronald, get your super chat question in. Anything you want to talk about, we'll go straight to it, Ronald. 88. CeeDee Lamb probably didn't want to wear 88, but 88 is a number passed down by Cowboys receivers. So Dez Bryant and Michael Irvin, obviously. So that's why he wears number 88. But if not, he would have already gotten into a single digit by now. Right? But, like, Like, that was always my thing with Kyron Lacy. I'm like, Kyron, man, you can't drop the ball wearing number two. If you're wearing number 82, I could live with that. But number two, I mean, Jay Jettas, Ruben Randle, but now he's at that level. So he should rock number two. But if you're in a single, you got to give me something. Okay. But chances, zero is wide open. Zero is wide open. Okay. Now, 82, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown won number 84. But you are right, though. The GOAT wide receivers wore jersey numbers in the 80s. Okay, Santana Moss. But Megatron, 81. Chris Carter, 80. Jerry Rice, 80. LSU's got a lot of 80s, legendary 80s. I mean, when we had Jack Besh on here, he talked about that. And he was like, man, dude, it's cool wearing number 80. I was like, yes. Freaking bring back those Jarvis Landry, Dwayne Bowe memories. And I'm just going to point this out. I'm just going to point this out. All right. Come at me all you want. But Jarvis Landry, when he got to the Saints, got number 80. He got number 80 when he got to the Saints. And I was like, hell yes. Vintage Jarvis. Vintage Jarvis. And then he switched to number 5, had one good game, and then he's not played since then. We need Jarvis back at number 80. All right. It matters. It matters. Okay. But yeah, I like that. Jelani Watkins and Kylan Billiott. If they ball out, get them in some single digit numbers, baby. All right. Coming up next. Fun guest alert for Thursday. We'll announce it right after this. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Sir, and the nooffseason.com sports card network will be in Shreveport this Saturday, July 27th. I'll be there all day, and it was announced today that if you wear a jersey, it can be any jersey, you get in free. So on top of the jersey numbers, okay? On top of the jersey numbers, I need you to come in your most obscure jersey. Like, I want, like, Wally Szczerbiak of the Minnesota Timberwolves level of obscurity. I want to look at your jersey and it be a player I never have heard of, ever. Okay. Can't be hockey. I don't do hockey. Yeah, hockey is just... But if you're at the Shreveport Card Show and you come to my setup, I have my own setup, and you have an obscure-ass jersey, you're getting an LSU auto. I'm hooking you up with a Grant Delpit auto. I'll go that big. 2019 legend. Blitnikoff at number 7. So, show up. Obscure. You get in. You're getting some equity already. Free getting into the gate. So, there you go. Corey the Goat, welcome him to the channel. He says, John Garlington wore number 89. I don't even know who John Garlington is. So, the answer to the 89 trivia is actually a guy that I knew. We were at LSU together. And he is indeed very underrated. And how many of you remember LeVar Edwards? Okay. LeVar Edwards was really, really solid, right? Guy understood the assignment. I need someone to look this stat up. I think LeVar Edwards is the only... I'm trying to get a good photo of him here. I think he is the only LSU Tiger with a pick six and a fumble recovery for a touchdown in his career. It's something like that. It's some kind of random stat or something like that. Insanely smart football player. And he was one of these so the defensive end of old at LSU were thicker players, right? You know, he's thick. And now the ends are just, you know, more slender. But back then, you know, he was a part of those, like, Tyson Jackson rotations. He was a little bit after Tyson, but Kirsten Pittman was of this build. What was his name? Pep Livingston, even though he played a little bit more DT. Tremaine Edwards, number 47, was also a thicker defensive end type. Obviously, Marcus Spears. So, I mean, absolute stud, LeVar Edwards. I don't know how long his NFL career, if he really had one at all, but I loved him, man. I freaking loved him. Let's go to Corey the Goat. He played defensive end for LSU in 1965 to 67. Corey, now, did you look this up or did you know about John Garlington? There's no way you knew this. There's no way you knew this. Oh, man. I think he did. I knew Chance would know something. I think he did go to Madison Prep. And I think BR. But yeah, if you remember LeVar Edwards, I would consider you to be a semi diehard LSU football fan, right? You don't have to be super duper diehard, but you have to really love the Tigers to know who that is. But yeah, I loved him. I freaking loved him. Nice guy, too. I'm telling you. There's not an LSU channel that talks more about the role players. So Corey the Goat. And Corey said, no, I looked that up. I love it, man. Did Joseph Alston get it right earlier? Did he say LeVar Edwards? Joseph. There he is! Joseph! I owe you an apology, bro. I owe you an apology. So it gets crazy over here. Obviously, we have people jumping in and jumping out and all the comments flying in. My apologies to you, Joseph. My apologies. He got it. LeVar freaking Edwards. So tomorrow, we will have our first USC guest. You're going to love him. And on Thursday, our good buddy Blake Ruffino will join us. So tomorrow, you don't want to miss it. My favorite USC guest on the planet. And he's actually like a USC historian. He had me on to debate 2003 USC versus 2003 LSU 2 years ago. Okay. So it's obviously something that's really cool about the season opening game coming up pretty soon. Okay. Now, something else, PHL, we're growing with our team of partners and all of that. So, if you want, and look, I've had some interest as far as you guys potentially running spots. If you want to join our team of spots, and I don't just money grab, I make sure it's something where we both can accomplish our goals, right? But if you want to support us, I do have a production team now. And if you do hop on PHL, we do have a very, very affordable option of shooting a very professional spot for your business. We can help grow your business. Obviously, you guys don't have a super diehard fan base. And we got good partners now, NOPOD, nooffseason.com. It's a fun group of people. I won't let you down. So hit us up, okay? At PowerHourLSU is where you can find me, or you can shoot me an email, powerhourlsu@gmail.com. Okay? So, Joseph, my apologies. It gets crazy in here. And I appreciate you, Chance, for holding me accountable. Now, next thing. I'm really loving this live stream. There's a few other things I want to get to. Once again, if you want your question answered, we will super chat. If you super chat, we'll go straight to it. You know, we're talking about sleepers. I do want to talk about a few other backups that I wouldn't necessarily call as like a sleeper per se. And one of those players is definitely Debo Atkins, right? He's a guy I really like a lot. He's just built different. Obviously, we interviewed him. And look, I just think he's very capable of producing at LSU pretty quickly. Now, once again, he is not the thickest guy. But at linebacker, I do prefer sideline to sideline speed over thickness. And I do think Debo gives you that. I do think a guy like Tylan Singleton is also very interesting as well. So because of that, I do think you could see more of a youth movement on this defense. Kylan Jackson is someone else. Springs, Deshaun McBride, who you know is now Springs, is very interesting as well. I will just continue saying this, and I understand that their recruiting rankings and their experience says otherwise, but I will remain skeptical of Sage Ryan and Major Burns until we actually get to the season, okay? So, you know, as far as, you know, Deshaun Spears and Kylan Jackson, I like them a lot. Joel Rogers is interesting to me. So, very, very, very fascinating young players. And we do have a pretty large sample size of Sage Ryan and Major Burns up to this point. And it's been mostly shaky at this point. So I am rooting for them. I am cheering for them. I prefer my football players be experienced and have a lot of blood and sweat equity into the program. But we are asking a lot for both of those guys to take leap forwards, right? It's a lot. And if they both do, then Blake Baker and obviously Coach Raymond and Coach Olson deserve a lot of credit. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Now, before we get to the next sleeper, let's go to the poll question. Decided to get a pretty large sample here. Where do you live? So South Louisiana currently wins here with 40%, outside of Louisiana, 38%, North Central Louisiana at 22%. Honestly, I was just curious. Huh? Let's go to Scotty B. He says he would love Kylan and Deshaun to unseat these do. So, yeah, Jackson and Springs are interesting players. Okay. Very interesting players. Yeah, J-Red. I mean, out of anyone that would know, I think it would be you to know. Unless it's Monday. No, it's Tuesday. Oh, I actually, you know what? I did not post in the Discord. And part of why I didn't was because I got the... I normally post a link in the Discord that we are going live. But I didn't post because I got that jersey number thing. And I didn't notice it until I actually just looked. I was actually looking at something else on the LSU roster. I was like, wait, we got the new jersey numbers. Now, speaking of Patreon, I have a few deep dives coming out on Patreon, one that I've already released. And I've gotten a few messages, and I feel like it's a little weird to talk about this like on a live stream. It's better to, because it is such like a deeper cut thing. But, you know, Derek Meadows, he is the first five-star 247 sports receiver. If he does sign, he would be the first five-star receiver since Kayshon Boutte in 2020. And as ugly as things ended with Kayshon, at LSU, he was pretty damn good. So, yeah, you know, five-star receivers turn out to be pretty good players more often than not. But, you know, we talked about Meadows. He caught 15 passes last year. So what I decided to do was put myself to the test. Does high school production matter at the wide receiver position? So that is at patreon.com/LSUfootball. And you could see the deep dive that I did there on if it is signal. And at the same time, what I expect to see next year out of Meadows in his final year of high school, I think he's going to explode. I really do think so. Jerry with the Super Sicker, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You get to pick the next topic. Sims, Alabama. Let's go. Oh, we got a U-High. Been a Tiger your entire life, man. Right on campus. Good stuff. Yeah, I actually think Trey Harris is underrated. I don't think people, I still don't think a whole lot of people, like as far as like the general consensus, I still don't think a lot of people know who Trey Harris is. I really don't. Like, if you know SEC football, you know what that is. But he's good. He's really freaking good. Let's see. Mary G had the best looking babes in high school. So Paul Skeens tonight. 8 1/3. 4 hits. 8 Ks, two earned runs. His last loss as a starting pitcher, May 25th, 2023 in the SEC tournament against Arkansas. I mean, are we watching like a true all-time, like we're going to be talking about this guy like Sandy Koufax kind of stuff. I mean, like a Shaquille O'Neal level pro. Now, I don't know if there'll ever be an LSU celebrity speaking of Shaquille O'Neal, but as far as like baseball is concerned, dude, like it's unreal. I tuned into the baseball All-Star game for the first time in eons a week ago. And, you know, made quick work of Aaron Judge. I mean, he is un-freaking believable. All right, so I've already gotten a few messages about the obscure jersey thing. Okay. Keon Clark, Sacramento Kings. I have no idea who that is. Keon Clark. And then, Jared, you might know this. Someone from Mobile, Alabama, my buddy Johnny, sent me a message. The Mobile Mystics. So when I first read this, I was like, okay, he's talking about Shamika Holzclaw, Mystics, WNBA. But no, apparently there is a Mobile Mystics in the ECHL. What the hell is the Mobile Mystics, Jared? Please tell me. My teammate wore number 89 in 1989. He was a recent employee at LSU in charge of the grounds for Tiger Stadium. Can anyone name him? Tight end number 89 in 1989. I don't know. So it's a, oh yeah, Robbie from Bama as well. Hockey team from the 90s. So is it true, Tyler, that Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young Award? Is that a Christian? The what? The Kingfish, okay. Corey, look it up for me, please, because that's what you do, bro. You know the one thing, and this is Ronnie LaFleur, that's his name? So this is something that pisses me off, and I'll go a little bit different outside of LSU football here. This is one thing I think historically that really bothers me. Drew Brees did not win a MVP. All right. So what's very interesting about that is you can make a very strong case that two of the biggest MVP heists in NBA and NFL history both happen in the NBA and NFL in New Orleans. Okay. Chris Paul should have won the MVP in 08. I think it was Kobe that year. And I understand, like, so if Kobe didn't win it that year, then he would have no MVPs, and that would be strange. Well, they give him one of Steve Nash's MVPs. I don't know. But Chris Paul's 2008 was crazy. And then Drew Brees, never winning an MVP, seems counterintuitive at the quarterback position when he had 5,000-yard passing seasons. Now, I'm not equating 5,000-yard passing seasons to good, because sometimes it's not good. Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards in a season. he was not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL that year. All right. But the fact that Drew Brees threw five of them, and never won MVP is strange. So, look, should he have won the 2018 MVP over Mahomes? Probably not. But there's got to be a season where Drew Brees won the MVP. I know he had a few close calls with Manning. I know he finished second three times, and one of them was to Mahomes in 2018. But he's definitely the best athlete that I know of that has not won an MVP. Maybe I'm missing on an NBA player that didn't win an MVP, but most of the legendary legends of the modern era have won MVPs. Okay. Yeah, the 2011 year, the 49ers lost year, Drew was cold-blooded, man. Dude was cold-blooded. So, yeah, you know, if the award is just given out to, like, one player, then, yeah, sure, it's tough. But the thing that pisses me off is, like, a guy who is so un-freaking-believably overrated, Joel Embiid, won an MVP when it should have gone to Jokic or Giannis, either one. So he has an MVP, but Drew Brees doesn't have one. Chris Paul doesn't have one when they are way better than Joel Embiid. Like, it's not even close. Drew Brees is way better than Matt Ryan. He's got an MVP. Drew Brees is way better than Cam Newton. He's got an MVP. Now, I will say Cam's MVP season was ridiculous, but you get the point, all right? Steve McNair. I love Steve McNair. He has a co-MVP. So, It's strange. It's something I'm sour about. Obviously, I'm very biased towards Drew Brees. And all those players outside of Matt Ryan, I like. Like, I actually do like Steve McNair. I like a Steve McNair nice card over there. But yeah, I am very biased towards the Brees MVP agenda. It doesn't make any sense. How can he be that prolific of a player? Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, answer as many questions as we possibly can. One thing I didn't do, okay, is I did not talk about the Bayou Splash this Saturday. I will more so focus on that probably on Thursday. Jonah Williams, the 5-star safety, locked in for the Bayou Splash. Okay, Bayou Splash, one of the biggest recruiting events of the year for LSU. It's very interesting. Okay. But, you know, I'm working on this for the NFL channel. And the more I dove deep, the more crazy stuff about Drew Brees I've seen that no one ever talks about with Drew Brees. Okay. All right. And I've started to reach out to national reporters, people that are close to Drew. Like, and this is going to sound unfreaking believably crazy because Drew Brees is, you know, made over $300 million in his entire career. And he's a legend. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame. He's got a very happy family and all that stuff. But of the legendary quarterbacks, no quarterback, especially ones that have actually won a Super Bowl, no quarterback was more unlucky than Drew Brees. None. I mean, the ridiculous amount of bad luck this guy had honestly hurt him a lot more than people realize. And I'm not just talking about the crazy playoff endings, the 49ers ending in 2011, and then obviously the Vikings games, and we know what happened in 2018. But there was a lot of other things that just, I mean, you really got to, and I've spent the last month mostly looking at this stuff. It is jaw-dropping, like, how much bad luck this guy had. And, yeah, I think a lot of people would say, well, Carter's fine. You know, Drew Brees did win a Super Bowl, and he did revive New Orleans, and he is, you know, a happy person. I would say that, but at the same time, you know, the more I learned about Drew is like, and I know this is like very cliche for every elite athlete ever, but he really had like this Jordan Kobe quality of being insanely competitive, where it really affected him when the teams lost. And once again, this is going to come off really biased, but just go back and look at all these Drew Brees pregame speeches. Like, you feel like, you really feel like you're watching Gerard Butler on 300, right? The dude is insane. He is insane. And I think it ate at him that he never got to play in another Super Bowl. Okay. So I got to be real, man. I don't think Drew Brees is unhappy at all. I don't. But I do think it bothers him a little bit more than one would like to think, that he did not accomplish more and he didn't get the recognition he deserved. Like ESPN, top 100 athletes of all time. Okay. Top 100 athletes of all time. ESPN doesn't list Drew Brees. What in the hell is wrong with you? Okay, they did a top 100 list, all right, of athletes in the modern era. Drew Brees has got to be on that list. He just does. You can't not put Drew Brees on that list. You can't not. I'm sorry. If you are listing the top 100, Drew Brees has got to be on there. I'm sorry. He's got to be on there. Now, the four QBs that were on there were Rodgers, Mahomes, Manning, and Tom. And look, you can make a case for all four of them being over Drew there, in particular Tom. But hell, Drew's got to be – Drew's top 100. He's got to be on there. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. The Master. Blaster, what's good? Let's go to Pegasus. Is there any worry that Team USA doesn't win gold, considering my GOAT has to keep saving the day for them to win? So, yes, there is concern. But I saw a stat earlier today that when the 1992 Dream Team won the Olympics, all the other teams combined had 9 NBA players. All right. And for this Olympics, all the other combined countries have 61 NBA players. The game is more global. I mean, we saw South Sudan almost beat Team USA. It's going to be harder. I mean, look, when I watched the first Team USA exhibition, it was ridiculous how loaded Team Canada was. We're talking about Team Canada. They are loaded with, like, really good NBA players. Shea, Dylan Brooks. I mean, the list goes on and on. They're good. Nikhil Alexander-Walker. So, yeah, they're not as good as Team USA. Nobody is. But everybody's good. I mean, look, you play Slovenia and Luka goes off. For one game, I don't know if Slovenia made the Olympics. I don't think that they did. I mean, there's nothing you can do, right? If he really, really went off. It's tough. I do think it's cool that LeBron is the flag bearer. I think that was cool. I will never be a Joel Embiid fan. Never. Interesting. Yeah, I'm not gonna say it's a lock. I don't. But yeah, I mean, it's, they should win though. They should. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll take a few more here. Fun show today. Really, really enjoyed it. Breakdancing is an Olympic sport. That's some weird Clyde Edwards-Helaire news. Denarik Prince got the second string running back reps over Clyde Edwards-Helaire today. Once again, it's just one practice, but it's interesting. Let's go to Sibley, our top super chatter of the evening. Wants to keep it going. Let's go to this. When Saints won Super Bowl, Tracy Porter from Port Allen intercepted Peyton Manning from New Orleans. The OG who missed the block making Manning rush was from Louisiana. Conspiracy theory or not? Yeah, okay. Is it a conspiracy theory? I mean, I think obviously that the bigger conspiracy would be Manning being from, you know, New Orleans himself. throwing that pick six. And obviously Peyton having a really strong tie to the Saints. So, look, I think it did weigh on Peyton in that game, the significance of the Saints and what the Saints went through in the Super Bowl and all of that. But Peyton wanted to win that game, right? He was needing that second Super Bowl. Also, Tracy Porter just made a really good play on the football. It would be different if it truly was, and it was a bad throw, but you could see that Porter watched his tape and just honestly beat him to the football. I mean, it's that simple. But yeah, tinfoil hat, Port Allen. it's ironic you mentioned this, Sibley. The thing that really interested me when I was watching the Drew Brees era Saints, and it seems like it's a very simple thing to do, but it really isn't. One thing you notice with all the great offenses in NFL history, I would say like 90% of them, you know, the Chiefs not so much, but most of the best offenses had a huge chunk of their production come from throwing to the running backs out of the backfield. And if you actually broke down that Super Bowl that Drew Brees played, that's essentially what he did. Like, Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush made some unreal plays. And today was actually the first time, and you'll once again working on this Drew Brees thing, actually sat down and rewatched, you know, a lot of Brees' best plays. I even tweeted this out, that Drew Brees and Joe Burrow both had to come back from 10 down to win their games. Man, like, Pierre Thomas was so underrated in that game. He broke so many tackles. But, you know, you look at the Brady Patriots throwing to the running backs, Kev Falk, James White. 2019 LSU, throwing to the running backs. Not so much as those teams, but still. Sean Payton, of the 20 best seasons in the modern day NFL history, when it comes to throwing to the running back out of the backfield, Sean Payton has 8 of them. Now, really think about that. As Sean Payton as head coach, 8 of the 20 best seasons ever throwing to the running back out of the backfield. So, you know, it really is a cheat code throwing to the RB. It's a shorter throw, you know, especially now that people sink back so much. You give your running back a chance to make a play. So, with Garrett not really being much of a scrambler, and I think a lot of teams will play LSU with, you know, like two high looks, the short game's going to be something for LSU this year. And it could be throwing to the running backs out of the backfield. But yes, Peyton really needed that second Super Bowl. He really did. And honestly, I spoke to a Hall of Fame voter not too long ago. Hall of Fame voters heavily weight the second Super Bowl. Obviously, there are some guys that don't need it, Drew Brees being one of them, to get into the Hall of Fame. But the second Super Bowl really does separate you. It really, really, really does. Okay. Now, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. Joey B, the Slim Shady hair. I love it. But then again, I love anything Joe Burrow. If it was really bold, though, he would have worn this on Fashion Week. So there was rumors of the buzz cut, but I don't think anyone thought he would go Slim Shady or Corey Rhodes. I like it. Pegasus says he's worried about Joe Burrow. Why? You shouldn't be. I had one of you send me that the Hawk Tua girl has sports cards now. God, dog. EA Sports has so much of my money. I don't know. Like, I'm going to be real. Okay. I still haven't recovered from the kid next door coming into this room and beating my ass at EA college football. Like, it was really that demoralizing. Like, he kept singing this song. He wasn't trying to do it at the end of my head. He kept singing this random TikTok song. And my wife, like, Haley was like really cheering him on to get, and I was like, babe, he's beating my ass 40-3. Like, you should be cheering for me. My psyche is on the line. And it wasn't even like a competitive thing. I knew I wasn't going to beat him. But it's just like, bro, like, no, like, don't. Like, it was just pick six after pick six after pick six. I have not turned my system on since then. I have not. I don't want to even see this game anymore. Like, how much. Yeah, and I love that the game is complicated. Like, and I want to learn how to do like the slide protections and all that stuff. But damn, Mitt, to hell, it's hard as hell. Whew. I was like, I'll stick to just doing fantasy football. I am glad I got the PS5. Yeah, everyone's talking about this Twister movie. Malachi Lane. It's a Roderick. Oh, yeah, he's a walk-on backup. Is he still on the roster? I got to look that up for you. Yeah, he is. Number 30, junior. The hot Tua girl. Spin on that thing, girl. AP, you want to run it back? You want to run it back? We can do one again soon. We could do one again soon. I've got to get better, though. I don't know if I want y'all to see me getting beat by Arkansas. Now, like, I am, like, if you think you're bad at the game, most of you may never pick up a controller in your life. You could turn the game on and be better at it than me. And what's interesting is I would like to think that I have, like, a decent football mind. You know, I've made most of my hay doing film studies, like breaking down the plays. Now, like I've always said, I'm not a coach, but like I have a good idea of what's happening on quite a few plays. You want me to get Zion in here to destroy my ass? Y'all, I don't, you don't understand. My soul, if you actually watch the stream on Sunday, you could see that I look like I witnessed an exorcism. Like, that's how badly this kid beat me in this game. With Mississippi, we did Tennessee, Mississippi State, he destroyed me. But that's the thing, Beck, is this going in, I thought he was going to beat me. I didn't think it was going to be like that, though. Honestly. I know it's... I know, Jared. I know. I should play him in that and then get the N64 and go to work. Yeah, by the way, like, I gave out most of my Malik Nabers collection. If you got a Malik Nabers card, you hit the jackpot for me. I would get that thing out and cherish that thing. I just don't think people understand how freaking good that guy is. And, like, here's the thing I don't get. And they bring up the Daniel Jones thing. They're like, Daniel Jones is his quarterback. And I was like, okay, Jaden Daniels in his first year was not Jaden Daniels' Heisman year. And Malik still put up big numbers in a loaded wide receiver room. I mean, the passes were not nearly as accurate. A lot of them were extreme wobblers. I mean, Malik still produced, and that's nothing against Jaden. He's still went out there, won games, and so on and so on. But I hear that, and I'm like, well, Malik at a younger age, and Malik is already young as it is, you know, comparative to, like, other, you know, recruits and draft prospects of the same ilk. Dude, he's so good. Like, he is so freaking good. And it would not shock me when it's all said and done that he had the best professional career of any of the LSU modern era guys. And that's going to be a lot. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different guys you could say that should be in that number one spot. Obviously, Kevin Mwai has and Alan Fanick are already in the hall. But, you know, I really do think Malik's going to be that good. I really do. Okay. That's funny, Pegasus. But yeah. All right, we'll be live tomorrow. My favorite USC guest will be joining us. And we're not going to be talking to USC. He's also one of my favorite college football minds. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Shout out to Jordan with the Venmo Super Chatter, top Super Chatter of the evening, the great John Sibley Butler, Jared and Ronald. Don't forget this Saturday, Shreveport, Louisiana, PHL get together. The most exotic, if you wear a jersey to the show, you get in free. The most exotic jersey at the show will get an autograph card from yours truly. Okay, so there you go. And tonight we are doing pork chops with some brown sugar. Let's go.